Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Knowing fully what was going to happen next, knowing his disciple would betray him, knowing another would deny him, knowing most would abandon him, having loved them, he loved them to the end. Jesus showed what this love looks and feels like by washing the travel-weary, sandal-bearing feet of his disciples. In so doing, Jesus showed us and them an act of servitude, an act of great intimacy, of love, that would institute a holy sacrament that is often forgotten, skipped, or downplayed by the church. On his deathbed, St. Vincent de Paul is said to have called a young nurse over to his bedside, and there he told her, "You will find out that charity is a heavy burden to carry, heavier than the kettle of soup and the full basket. But you will keep your gentleness and your smile. It is not enough to give soup and bread. The rich can do this. You are the servant of the poor, always smiling and good-humored. They are your masters, terribly sensitive and exacting master you will see. And the uglier and the dirtier they will be, the more unjust and insulting, the more love you must give them. It is only for your love alone that the poor will forgive the bread you give to them." What Jesus did just before his suffering and death is to show us a radical alternative to how we default when we're faced with injustice. Instead of lashing out at Judas, whom we're told the devil had already put in his heart to betray Jesus, he washes his feet. I wonder what it felt like for Judas. While Jesus carefully cupped Judas' feet in his hands and washed and cleansed them, and took the towel from around his waist and wiped them dry, I wonder how Judas felt. Did he feel the burden lifted? Did he feel relief? Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Foot washing was the task of the servant, the lowly, not the task of the Lord or Master. And so it's perfectly natural that Peter should be appalled and object to Jesus wanting to wash his feet. But Jesus tells him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share in me. Unless you let me love you, cleanse your feet, show you great intimacy and care, unless you allow yourself to be vulnerable and to receive Jesus, this act of pure love, we will have no share in him." The passage is as much about how to receive as it is how to give. Because receiving love and intimacy, opening ourselves up to be loved, is often just as hard or harder to do than to give. It's also the basis by which we know how to love one another, the basis of the new commandment that Jesus gives us, that we love one another just as Jesus loved us. I want to explore a little bit the beauty of the sacrament of the washing of the feet, because it calls to mind and it evokes just a few days earlier in John's Gospel, when Jesus is visiting Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom he had risen from the dead. And there, Mary takes a very expensive perfume, washes Jesus' feet, and with her hair, wipes his feet clean. Her actions, which were done out of love and devotion, are so personal. They are so giving. They are so intimate, that they filled the house with the wonderful fragrance of the perfume. The striking revelation in this passage is that Jesus acknowledges that Mary's actions were done, and the nard that she had bought, the expensive balm that she had bought, was bought in preparation for his burial. Having loved his own, she loved him to the end. Mary understood what it was to love as Jesus loves, and to serve from that love while he was still there with them. Being in a room surrounded by the fragrance of the perfume, and that act of pure selflessness, while Mary wiped his feet with her hair, is among, I think, the most touching passages of the New Testament. Jesus' servitude, his love, and peaceful resistance are subversive. They are dangerous. He's turning on its head the whole social order. Being the Lord and teacher means giving, countering violence with love. He knows how hard it is for us to understand, so he explains it to his disciples, that although they may not understand his actions now, they will understand. They will understand it later. They will understand it at the resurrection, when Jesus' death conquers death, and his love becomes our salvation. And we are to be an Easter people. We must follow in Jesus' example. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are the messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed and do them. And because Jesus' actions are countercultural, it makes sense that Peter does not want to let Jesus wash his feet. But he accepts it wholeheartedly when it's explained that unless we let Jesus serve and cleanse us, we have no share in this. Our salvation comes from the love of Jesus, whose authority and power is expressed through absolute love. Love, which is the only thing that can eliminate the darkness and the terror and the horrors of our world. Having loved us, he loved us to the end. In the garden, Jesus shows vulnerability and asks that this cup be taken away from him. But then he accepts that his death must happen. He could have fled, could have hidden, but instead, Jesus willingly waits for his arrest. And at the arrest, Jesus shows us what it is to be Lord and Master, when he ordered Peter to lay down his sword. And at his trial, Jesus shows us the true nature of a king who loves his people, not by attributing blame. At his crucifixion, he showed us how a Messiah unites family and community when he gave John to Mary and Mary to John. And when he drank that last gulp of wine, seeped with hyssop, he declared, "It is finished." Divine love, the passion, death, and resurrection remains a mystery to us to this day. But when we see it, we know it. We know it from the innermost place of our being. We know it to be true. I read about it in an article published in December of 2013, where the Archbishop Konrad Kudrowski, the papal almoner — an almoner is someone whose responsibility is to give alms for the Pope — implied in an interview with the Huffington Post that the Pope, that at night he would say to the Pope that he was going out to meet the poor, and he always thought the Pope might join him. And they tried to ask him, did the Pope actually join him? But he stayed quiet on that. However, later it's just hard to confirm that the Pope does get dressed up in regular priest clothes and sneaks out at night with the almoner to give alms to the poor. And I read it again when, on March 3rd of 2015, the Pope went to the prison in Naples, I believe, to wash the feet of Christians and Muslims and other prisoners, other inmates at that prison. He dined with them and he washed their feet. And he went to a particular cell that was full of gay and lesbian and transgender inmates. He went to their cells, an HIV positive, and he washed their feet. That's showing what the love of God is. That's the actions of someone who loves them to the end. And it comes beautifully to life in the words of the poet Malcolm Tweed. I'll read a few lines. "And here he shows the full extent of love. To us his love is always incomplete. In vain he searched the heavens high above. The God of love is kneeling at our feet. Though we betray him, though it is night, he meets us here and loves us into light. Loving one another as Jesus loves us means kneeling beside one another. Whether they're cruel to us, disagreeable, dirty, or sick, it means taking into your hands those parts of others that mostly never see the light of day, loving through thick and thin, anointing each other with the most precious balm we have, which is our true selves. Like Peter, we may not at first have understood what Jesus was doing when he began to wash the disciples' dirty, worn, and weary feet. But we know it to be true when we feel love embodied. Jesus teaches us that the master is no greater than the servant, the messenger no greater than the one who sent him. And so, when we open and humble ourselves to be in love, and we open ourselves to the service of others, not out of obligation, not out of duty, but out of pure love, others will forgive us the bread that we give them. Amen.